As I mentioned earlier, I want to look this morning at something of the life of Aquila and Priscilla, as we have recorded for us in the scriptures. It was around 52 AD that many of the Jews then living in Rome began persecuting their Christian neighbours. And as such, they caused quite a lot of unrest and considerable disturbance within the city. The Roman emperor at that time was Claudius, and he was concerned about the disturbances. He cared little for the reason. He was a harsh ruler, and he wanted to get rid of those problems, and so he knew that it was the Jews who were causing the disturbance, so he had all the Jews thrown out of Rome. Even though some of them, of course, were converted. Some of them were Christians. And one of those was a man named Aquila, a Jew. Now, Aquila had moved to Rome from the province of Pontus, which was on the Black Sea. And so Aquila, being a Jew, rather, even though he was a Christian, it would seem, was banished from Rome. And there he heads to the city of Corinth, there together with his wife, Priscilla. This husband and wife team, this couple, set up home in Corinth. Altogether, there are some six references to this couple in the scriptures, in Acts, in 1 Corinthians, in Timothy, and in Romans. In five of those times, it's always Priscilla who's put first, Priscilla and Aquila. On one occasion, it's the other way round. I'm not sure I'm going to draw any conclusions from that. I was looking at some of the commentators, and they draw all sorts of conclusions from the order of their names, but I'm not going to go into that this morning. By looking at the lives of this couple, we can learn a lot concerning partnership in marriage. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. But I will say this, that these examples that we're looking at goes much further than just the married couple. We'll find here help for all believers, whether you're living on your own or you're living at home with your parents, in a Christian family, in an unbelieving family. There are things here which will help us, I hope, to live the Christian life. Aquila and Priscilla, having been turfed out of Rome, make their way to Corinth, which is where they first encounter Paul. They later travel to Syria with Paul and on to Ephesus. Later on, we will find them again back in Rome, and their last scene in Ephesus. We know nothing about their conversion. We are just introduced to them as Jews who knew and loved the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's spend some moments now looking at this couple. First of all, it was a working partnership. A working partnership. Like Paul, they were tent makers. We read in verses 2 and 3, there he, that's Paul, met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. All Jewish boys were taught a trade. Right from the start, they were taught some practical means of earning a living. And no doubt that's how Aquila came to be a tent maker, having learnt it as a boy. That was his trade. So firstly here, they were a team, Aquila and Priscilla. They were a team. It's already mentioned, whenever we read the name Aquila in the scriptures, we always read of Priscilla, whether it's before or after. Quite interesting. This was a husband and wife team, working together in their tent making. This would suggest that there was a harmonious relationship and a unity of purpose. We have to be honest, it's not always easy for husband and wives to work together. Sometimes there are a bit of tensions and strains. That wouldn't seem to be the case here with Aquila and Priscilla. And when Paul comes on the scene, they were happy to take him on board and to work together with him in their industry of tent making. Now, of course, not every husband and wife can do that. Not every husband and wife can earn their living together as this Aquila and Priscilla did. It was not always practical. But a husband and wife are called to work together. And to work together in their homes. And particularly Christian couples are called to work together in the work of the gospel. The family, you see, is a working unit. And we need to understand that. Not because just because work has to be done, but because God has commanded it. Such things are embedded in the Ten Commandments. You know, when we read about the Sabbath in Exodus 20, the scripture says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work. We often spend so much time wondering about how to keep the Sabbath day that we forget that we're supposed to be working the other 6 days. That work is not only what is done in the marketplace, in the office or the factory or wherever, schoolroom, wherever we are, but in the home, working together in the running and the upkeep of the home, working together to determine who does what. It's very often, isn't it, within the home that we sort those things out. It's tradition has it that a woman plays a certain role and a man does another, but in the home you work together over these things. There has to be everything from the cooking of the meals and the washing and the cleaning of the house and looking after the garden and every aspect of the work of the home. And then there is the work outside of that, the bringing up of children, the work in the church and so on. These things have to be worked at and decided at between the couple. Those with children at home must teach their children to work also. Say, well, they're a bit too young. But no, we have to start teaching our children from a young age to work. Now, that may just be putting away their toys at the end of the day, but it's all part of their training. Young people and children helping with the chores in the home, helping with the dishes. Aquila and Priscilla worked together, and it was clear that they had decided how they would use their joint income. They worked together so that they could spend time working for the gospel. For them, the service to the Lord came first. That was their priority in their home. And later on, Paul says to them, as he writes in Romans 16, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. That's what they were noted for. Their fellow working with Paul in the labour of these gospels. But you know, these things apply to each one of us. Not just those who are in a husband and wife situation. If you're living on your own, all at work. We're not called to be couch potatoes and just fritter away the time. There is work to be done in every home and in the helping of others. Now obviously, of course, there are times of rest, times of relaxation. Our capacity to work reduces as we get older. We need more times of rest. Retirement is really a change of activity. It's not ceasing activity. It means we have to do those things for which we are physically able. For the Christian's full and final rest only comes as we pass into eternity. Aquila and Priscilla, they were a team. They were industrious. They were industrious. Now, Corinth was an important commercial city, which, of course, is why Paul travelled there as he shared the gospel. And we know, as we read in these verses, that Aquila and Priscilla were happy to work with Paul and to help him. Tent making, I understand, in those days was far from an easy profession. Taking goats, skins and hairs and sewing them together into tents. No doubt Paul had also that experience. He was a tent maker. One hardly imagined that he was able to take everything with him as he travelled from one city to another, so we could see perhaps Aquila and Priscilla sharing their tools and supplies, maybe even their customers, together with Paul, so that they could generate an income. Would have been hard work. But like Paul, Aquila and Priscilla saw their tent making as a means to an end, an opportunity to provide an income to live on so that they could devote themselves to the work of the gospel. Now we have to be careful how we view our work here. Our work is as much a praise and a worship to God as our worship in this place week by week. We are to work and to work hard on our workbenches or the school, wherever we are called to work. Aquila and Priscilla had a trade. It was a trade which for them they could perform in different places. They appear to have made themselves and what they had available wherever the Lord chose. In other words, as they moved around from Rome to Corinth to Syria to Ephesus and again, they were able to apply their trade. They gave themselves fully to the work of the gospel. More than one church was indebted to this couple. And we read in Romans 6:4, they risked their lives for me, says Paul. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. We'll come back to that point later. Now, only a few, of course, are called to this kind of roving commission. But there is a principle at the back of this that we need to understand. And that principle is simply this. What I have in the Lord, what I have is the Lord's. My home, my income, my skills, my time, all of those things belong to the Lord. And we are responsible to the Lord in using those things. And we are to use them fully. In other words, we are to be committed to the work of the gospel. Aquila and Priscilla worked at being committed to the Lord and to his people. And surely that's what you and I are called to if we're Christians here this morning. We are called to serve our God and to serve Jesus Christ in all that we do. Our workplace, our income, the skills that we have, the homes that we have, all are to be used for the glory and for the work of the gospel. Doesn't Jesus say, in words recorded in Matthew 16, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's part of following Christ, isn't it? Committing all that we have to his care and to his service. A working partnership. Secondly, it was a worshipping partnership. A worshipping partnership. Behind everything they did, Aquila and Priscilla had the desire to worship the Lord. And I suggest we get this from the very approach they have to the scriptures and to the word of God. Let me show you what I mean. Firstly, they were teachable. They were teachable. Now, it may be that Aquila and Priscilla were converted in Rome under the ministry of Paul. Or in Corinth, we don't know. We're not told where it is. But what we are told is that they were very willing to welcome Paul into their home. They welcomed him to stay with them and to work with them. And just as they did that, it's clear that they also welcomed Paul's Lord into their hearts. They would have been with Paul in his regular teaching sessions as he went to the local synagogue regularly, week by week. And no doubt, on one occasion when he moved in and went to the home of Titus, we have that recorded in verse 7 of Acts 18, Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titus Justus, a worshipper of God. They would have been regularly under Paul's ministry. You can't imagine for one moment having Paul in the home and all they were talking about was the latest design in tent making. And whether they should have big poles or short poles, or how big they should be, how to make it water, and all that. We can't imagine Paul spending much time talking about that. He'll get on with his tent making, and no doubt as they did, they would talk and discuss the things of God. You can imagine Aquila and Priscilla asking questions, learning at the feet of Paul. And they absorbed that doctrine and the truth that the apostle gave to them. But it's a reminder, isn't it, to us, how important it is for us to be teachable. What do I mean by that? I mean it's this, that we have a true desire to read and to study and to learn God's word. Paul had instructed Timothy in that. We have in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to preaching and teaching. Teaching is a vital part of the ministry of the church. It's essential that the church is not just a place of fellowship, as important as that is, but the church is the place where the word of God is proclaimed, it is preached, that is exhorting men and women to come and to believe and to live Christian lives, but also to be taught, to grapple with the hard things of God and to build up our knowledge and understanding. Paul again in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That means everything from Genesis to Revelation, all is scripture, all of it is God-breathed, and all of it is useful at one place or another. Some is more useful than others in certain aspects. Some parts are particularly useful for teaching the gospel. Some parts are very useful about teaching the way that we should live. Some are useful in teaching us of God's purposes and God's sovereignty. All of these things are to be taught so that we might share in the word of God. Isn't that part of the Great Commission? Doesn't the Lord Jesus Christ, in his words recorded in Matthew 28, he talks about going to all the nations and proclaiming the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and what? Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. You see, we're not Christians who go out and just fire a broadside of the gospel. We need to be able to teach men and women, and you and I need to be willing to be taught. Can I ask that, if that is a reality in your lives? Are you willing to subject all of your understanding to the scrutiny of the word of God? Let me ask the question, what do you do with the sermon? Is it something you sit through? I know it's difficult, sometimes the preacher's not particularly bright or interesting, but do you take what is said? Do you meditate upon it? Do you ever discuss it? Maybe over Sunday lunch or after the service. Husband and wives, we're talking about Aquila and Priscilla, husband and wives encouraging one another in their understanding, exhorting one another. I've put here in brackets, I'm not sure it should be, I'm saying not nagging one another, but sharing and encouraging one another in the word of God. Didn't quite understand what the preacher meant on that particular point this morning. Oh, that point really struck me. I've been struggling with that in my mind. How do we put that into practice? If you're the only Christian in your home, maybe you're living on your own, maybe you're the only one there, that do you make time to discuss these things and think about them? Grab the moments of fellowship here on a Sunday morning and evening. Isn't that important? Particularly if you're living on your own, you need the fellowship of God's people. Not only to pray together, but to share in these things. Do you have a teachable spirit? Are you willing to learn? Some of us hold on to some cherished ideas that we're never quite sure where they come from, but they've been around in our minds for years. We've never really subjected them to the word of God. And maybe there are times when we need to do that. Aquila and Priscilla, they were teachable. Also, they were Bible-orientated. Bible-orientated. Not only were they teachable, but they were keen to share what they knew with others. Remember about Apollos? Verse 26, Apollos began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Now, Apollos, it seems, had a great knowledge of scripture. That knowledge, of course, would have been the Old Testament. Also, we are told he was a good preacher. People would like to listen to him. And he talked about Jesus But his knowledge was incomplete. He knew about the baptism of John, but that would suggest that he didn't know about the baptism that was to come, the baptism of the Spirit of God on every believer. How men and women, when they believe, are to be baptized in water. Aquila and Priscilla recognized the gifts and the abilities in this man. He was a man that they were concerned about. They had a godly concern for them. And they took Apollos on one side and said, come into our home, and taught him the ways of God more fully. I don't know if Aquila ever preached. I don't know if Priscilla ever led a ladies' meeting. We're not told any of those things. But they knew their scriptures. They'd listened to Paul. They'd been teachable. They'd been built up in their faith. They saw that Apollos was falling short. They were critical. Not in terms of bringing him down, but in terms of being constructive. And so they taught him the gospel of redemption. It's interesting, the word of scripture says Priscilla and Aquila did this. I'm going to go down whether it was right for Priscilla as a woman to teach, but he was done within the home. Aquila and Priscilla, I'm sure that Priscilla was able to bring those things which she could give a particular emphasis on, and the same that Aquila did. Together, they built up Apollos' knowledge. But think of Apollos. He was teachable, wasn't he? He was a big enough man to humbly learn from this wise and devoted couple. Let me ask this question. If you're a Christian here this morning, perhaps of many years standing, don't expect all new converts, or those just coming into the Christian faith, to be clear about their belief, or even of some of the fundamental issues. We should follow the example of Aquila and Priscilla, and help those who are just coming into the Christian faith, help them along. As we said, it's clear that Aquila and Priscilla worked together jointly in this task, working together for the furtherance of the gospel. Do you remember, we've already quoted Romans 16:3, where Paul calls them the fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Let me ask a question. Do you see yourselves as supporting the ministry of the church? Do you see yourselves as supporting the ministry of this church? Praying for it. Looking for those who are coming in. Those who are younger. Those who have limited knowledge. Do you think in terms, how can I get alongside them? How can I help? And that applies to every one of us, because we've all got different backgrounds. And sometimes one person can get alongside a particular character because they've got similar backgrounds or thinking, and they can share at a level which is more appropriate. Paul saw Aquila and Priscilla as a great plus in the ministry of the church. Are we the same? Are we a plus to the ministry of the church? So then Aquila and Priscilla, they were a working partnership. They were a worshipping partnership because they worshipped together in the sharing and the proclamation of God's word. And then thirdly, they are a serving partnership. A serving partnership. Already seen, they worked together and worshipped and taught the things of God together. Serving the Lord, how did they do this? Well, we're told they're often held up as the great example. They were hospitable. They were hospitable. Aquila and Priscilla had an open home policy. We first read of how they opened it to Paul, didn't we? In verse 3, Paul went to see them, and he stayed and worked with them. I think he was with them for some 18 months. This wasn't a weekend trip, or even a couple of weeks holiday trip. This was 18 months. That's some commitment, isn't it? If you've ever had anybody living in your home, not a member of your family for a few months, 6 months, a couple of years, you find that such things are quite invasive. We value our privacy, don't we? We like our castles. We like to think that when we go into our homes and shut our doors, then nobody can see us and we can get on and do whatever we want. But we need to be reminded, don't we, that our homes are given by God. And they are to be used for his work and for his glory. From giving a meal and friendship, to having someone stay to help them out. How helpful it must have been to Paul to be in the home of Aquila and Priscilla. You see, if he'd gone off and he'd rented a room on his own, he'd have to do his own cooking and all of that, keeping it clean and everything else of them. That would divert him away from the work of the gospel, plus having to go out to do his tent making. But being in the home of Aquila and Priscilla, that would have helped on that. I'm not saying he never got the tea towel to do the wiping up, but sharing in that work would have reduced the amount of time. No doubt he paid his way, but it would have given him more time for the work of the gospel. See, many Christians, if I can suggest, often behave with their homes like those of the world. Their home is their castle. Only their friends are ever invited in. Sometimes, of course, we might delude ourselves into thinking that we are hospitable because we entertain our friends lavishly. But don't the people of the world do that? And they have their supper parties and all the rest. An open home is not restricted to a limited number of friends, but a readiness to welcome others. Let me give you one example. Some years ago, we had a young girl living with us for some months. She didn't come from a Christian home, and she was quite amazed at how our lifestyles were so different from her parents. And it was the first time she'd really been exposed to what was a Christian family life. Don't think for a moment we got it all right, because I can tell you we didn't. We made many mistakes. And nor would I say that we never had a crossword in the house. That wasn't the case. And we didn't think we'd been a very good example. But it struck her because it was something which was different. Young people today grow up in ungodliness in pagan homes. It can be a real revelation to see what a Christian family life really means. Is there more we could do this way? Is there better use we could make of our homes? Paul exhorts those in the home to show hospitality. 1 Timothy 5. Such things are the evidence of the love of Christ in our hearts. For example, Paul writes in Romans 12, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And again in 1 Peter, Peter writes, 1 Peter 4, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. As Christians, we are called to be hospitable. Next, under this heading of a serving partnership, Aquila and Priscilla, they were local church orientated. Local church orientated. They believed and understood the essentials of what it was to be a local church. Where do we get this from? Well, before the days of the luxury of having our own church buildings, churches used to meet in homes. Homes were different there in those countries. They would often have large areas, big courtyards, sometimes large roof, flat roof spaces where people would meet. And the church would meet there. And it's clear as we read through the scriptures that Aquila and Priscilla used their home for believers to assemble. For example, in 1 Corinthians 16:19, Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord. And so does the church that meets at their house. Now, they're not suggesting for a moment that Aquila and Priscilla have started a church in their own house and it's their church, that sort of thing. That's not what's being meant here. There was the church of God. It was the people, the believers, who gathered together to meet in their home. We have the same thing in Romans 16. Greet also the church that meets at their house. That's again Aquila and Priscilla. You know, the church is the people of God, isn't it? And wherever the people of God meet together under the authority and the leadership of ordained elders or defined elders, under the authority of the word, that is a church. and it means for worship and for singing and for preaching, for teaching, fellowship, prayer, Lord's Supper, and all of the rest. And Aquila and Priscilla obviously understood and supported the importance of the local church. They allowed their home to be used for a local church. I can remember some years ago, a family in Scotland, the church didn't have a place to meet, so they allowed their front living room to be used as the place for the church to meet. And it was always ready, and when you went there, the pulpit was actually the television, because it had a nice flat top, and they put a cover over it and put the seats out, so the church could meet in their home. In the past, of course, sometimes we've done that, haven't we? Especially during the week, the church has met in various homes for prayer and so on. It doesn't matter whether it's in the home or it's in a building, it is the church meeting. And Aquila and Priscilla saw the importance of that. Thirdly, they were courageous. They were courageous. We're told that Aquila and Priscilla had risked their lives to ensure the safety of Paul. Love to know what that was about, wouldn't you? Love to know what had happened. What situation had Paul come across that he needed the help so that only Aquila and Priscilla could dig him out of it? And Aquila and Priscilla put their own lives on the line to do that. And Paul declares that he has a great debt of gratitude to this brave husband and wife team. Again, Romans 16. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. But some of the churches of the Gentiles record their thanks to Aquila and Priscilla. Now, Paul was God's special envoy, special apostle to the Gentiles. And it was seen to suggest that if Aquila and Priscilla had not intervened, if they had not laid their lives on the line, then Paul might have died. Paul's ministry might have stopped then and there. The ministry to the Gentiles came to an abrupt end. I know within the control and the sovereignty of God, all things are possible. But these were the instruments that God had used. They had laid their lives on the line for Paul because they expressed their love for Paul. Of course, such things are in accord with God's word. David mentioned some of this in the children's talk this morning. 1 John chapter 3 verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. In other words, there are times when we are called to put ourselves in the line of fire for the gospel's sake. And that might be standing up in a parents' association meeting at a school, or in proclaiming God's word, or in speaking on the doors and having to defend the gospel of Christ and his word. And sometimes it's not easy and it's not comfortable. But we are called to put ourselves in the line of fire. Or is it that we always play safe? Do we duck the issues, or are we prepared to take risks to see the gospel of Jesus Christ go forward? Surely we are called to take a risk with our lives and our freedoms so that we might see this glorious gospel of Christ that we love be shared and proclaimed in the generation in which we live. And then finally, this couple, this serving partnership, not only they were hospitable, local church orientated, courageous, they were faithful to the end. When they were converted, we don't know. We're not told that. What is clear is that they followed and served Jesus all their lives. The reality of knowing God through Jesus Christ continued with them. They knew the need of forgiveness. They knew their need of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew why he went to the cross on their behalf. He knew that they had to continue in their faith, that his death was for them and for their sins, that he was their only hope of heaven, as it is your only hope of forgiveness and my only hope of forgiveness. And they believed it wholeheartedly. It was something which stirred them up day by day and directed all of their activities. Does that apply to you? Does the Word of God, does the love of Christ, what He did in death and burial and resurrection and ascension, stir you to do those things for Him, so that we work for Him? It was this that kept them going. It was this that made them risk their lives when required. It was the thought of what Christ had done which made them use their home, their profession and everything they had in helping Paul, helping the gospel, teaching Apollos. They were faithful believers. We spoke earlier on about commitment, but the greatest commitment we are called to is to be faithful and to continue on. It was 14 years after Paul had first met Apollos and Priscilla. And we read that in the last epistle he wrote, he still remembers them, 2 Timothy. Just a short phrase we find there in verse 4:19. It just says, greet Priscilla and Aquila. They were obviously still going strong there at the very end of Paul's life. And it means that we need to challenge ourselves. What do you reckon your spiritual condition will be in 14 years' time from now, if the Lord spares you? Or is it maybe that we're already losing our first love, losing the joy of our salvation? Other things have encroached. How do we deal with that? How do we remain faithful? Well, it is we look again to Jesus Christ. We center our hearts and minds on Him. He is our Lord. Nothing else except what Christ has done. Why He went to the cross for me, for you, if you're a Christian this morning. Knowing that He suffered all the torments and the agony of that cross to deal with our sin. But how God wrenched Him from that grave and raised Him up again on that third day. Knowing that He is now victorious. He is now in heaven at the right hand of God, interceding with God for you and for me. And when we find that we are drifting away, less faithful, less committed, less willing to use the gifts that we have of our homes and all the rest, less willing to use them for the work of Christ, then look again at what Christ has done. Such things should stir our minds and lift our hearts to do good works for the gospel's sake. Not to earn our salvation, we never do that, but surely that is our natural response to what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. May we follow the example of Aquila and Priscilla in our relationships in the home, in our individual lives, in the way we work and worship and serve, so that we may bring all the honour and glory to Him for our glorious Saviour's sake.